8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Looking for your suggestions today on who we should cast for a Super Bowl 50 film. And we're talking about today, the actual people, like Peyton Manning and John Elway and Von Miller.
Not the actors, but who should be represented.
Who should be in the Super Bowl 50 film, which we should call Blue Steel, right? It should just be Blue Steel.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be the Super Bowl 50 movie, just the Blue Steel movie.
Right, since Blue Steel.
That's what we decided to call the Broncos defense back when they won it all in 2015. So text or call us today on who do you think should be in our Blue Steel film, Super Bowl 50. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Love to get your thoughts on that today. We're going to have Connor McGahee coming up in just a little bit. Voice of the Avalanche will have the call on the team tonight when the Avs score off against the St. Louis Blues. Both teams coming in playing really well, both on a three-game winning streak. So we'll have that coming up later on this morning with Connor McGahee, or later on, just in a little while, actually, 8:20 this morning, Connor McGahee will join us, and also Chris Dempsey to talk Nuggets and Miami Heat, but more importantly, what will the Nuggets do with the loss of Jamal Murray? How do they deal with that loss? The loss of Jamal Murray. That's a huge loss. Second leading scorer, second leading assist guy on your team behind Nikola Jokic. How do you deal with that loss? That's a huge one. So text or call in today. Your thoughts on any of those things, but also our casting for our Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 film. 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. A lot of area athletes are going to sign their letters of intent today. And among them, she was an All-State Honorable Mention player, last year's Southwestern League Player of the Year as well. And she helped guide Central deep into the 4A State Basketball Tournament this season. And she'll be signing to play at Colorado Mesa today. Central Warriors guard Leah Redding joins us. Leah, I appreciate the time. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine. This has to be an exciting day for you and your family. You've made your decision on where you're going to play your college basketball. It was certainly a different season because of COVID, but boy, you guys had such a tremendous season going deep into the 4A State Basketball Tournament. This has to be a very exciting day for you.
Yes, it's very exciting for me and my family, and all of us are just ready and excited that I get to stay home and in town.
Of course, signing with Taylor Wagner and Colorado Mesa, you play with both of Taylor's daughters. They both, Alex and Bryn, both had great seasons for the Warriors this year. And so Taylor Wagner was out there to watch his daughters play, but he also got a chance to watch you and recruit you as well.
Yes, and that was also very helpful and exciting to see him in the gym a lot also.
So when we talk about Colorado Mesa women's basketball, I mean, obviously the reputation, it's well known across the state, and particularly here on the Western Slope. That's a program that you step into that is a very competitive program, and a program where you have to really play your tail off at practice and in games and get that opportunity down the road, Leah, to get into that that rotation, because it's a team stocked full of talent right now.
Yes, and I love the intensity and how everyone just wants to push themselves, and it's going to be a great atmosphere to be in.
So did Coach Wagner's daughters give you a little advice on how to handle Coach Wagner? How to be around him? Because, look, nobody knows him better than those two, right?
Yes, they talk about that a lot. I feel like he's a different person definitely around them, a little less intense, but there's always that competitiveness that he does have.
Leah Redding of the Central Warriors basketball team will sign her letter of intent today to play at Colorado Mesa University to join the Mavericks. Central going into the Elite Eight this year in the 4A State Basketball Tournament. When you reflect back to this past season, Leah, and the success obviously your team had on the floor, the deep run you had in the postseason, what are some memories that kind of stand out for you when you think back to this basketball season? Maybe I'm sure some of it's probably COVID related with what happened with your basketball team, but just mm-hmm. some of your thoughts, some of your favorite memories of this past season.
I think my favorite thing was that we were always together. We always tried to stay away from everything COVID-related, so we were just all together all the time. We went to a couple team dinners and just had, like, just us hanging out. We'd have, like, ice cream after practice and just, like, fun activities like that, just as a team where we could grow closer and just have a lot of fun together.
Leah Redding joining us today, Central Warriors basketball standout, all-league performer, player of the year last year in the league, and she'll be signing with Colorado Mesa today. Was it just always Colorado Mesa? Were there other schools that you kind of thought about, that they had reached out to you, you're interested in, or was it the Mavericks pretty much from the get-go, Leah?
I had a couple other schools, and Mesa was always my number one option. I've been wanting to stay in town this year, and finally, when I had that opportunity, that's when I really made that decision.
Well, you get a chance to go to the Mavericks and be a member in that backcourt down the road. When you watch Colorado Mesa women's basketball, you know, we talked about how successful they've been, but what are some things that they do from a style standpoint, offensive standpoint, that really kind of speak to you and your skill set that you're taking to the Mavericks?
They really let their defense create their offense a lot, and they run a really good system that helps every person use their scoring to an advantage, and they really pinpoint everyone so everyone's helping, not just one person.
I know when we've talked with Coach Doan and Coach McCarty about the role you had this past year, along with Maya Murdoch, you know, you guys started playing as freshmen and you came up through the ranks and some good years and some really lean years for Central basketball as well, that both of your coaches commented on the job that you and Maya did in mentoring some of the younger players, Christina Manzanares, Bryn Wagner, you know, some of those younger players that really stepped up and had great seasons. And I imagine, you know, that, you know, that's something, was that just something you and Maya did on your own, or was that something that was encouraged by Coach Doan? I just get the sense that you and Maya, just, you know, being the kind of players that you are and kind of people that you are, that you guys just took that upon yourselves to say, hey, we're going to be the leaders and we're going to be the mentors of these younger group of Warrior basketball players.
Yeah, I think we just knew that they were going to help us in throughout the season, and we just wanted to take them, like, under our wing, I guess, and kind of show them what it's kind of like to play. And I think that really helped our, like, team to be closer, because we included everyone instead of being like, oh, we're the seniors, like, we're better than everyone else. Like, we really just wanted to make it a point for everyone to be a part of the team.
We're talking with Central basketball player Leah Redding. She'll sign her letter of intent today to play at Colorado Mesa. And we talked about the great season that your team had, Elite Eight in the 4A ranks this year. Boy, it looked like you guys were going to have Holy Family there for a while, and unfortunately couldn't nail down the win to get to the Final Four. But I would think there's a lot of, I think, moments this season where you have to go, wow. I mean, the double overtime win against Delta, that was a really good basketball team that you beat. But ending that losing streak to Fruita Monument, what was that like? Because, I mean, that was a 21-game winning streak that they had. And that had to feel so good to get that off your back as a player, that in your final season as a Central Warrior, Leah, you're able to say, hey, we got a win against the Wildcats, and it had been a long time coming, but boy, it sure felt good, right?
Yes, I have never walked into the gym and had so much focus from our whole team. It was a whole different team that stepped out on that floor that night, and we just knew that if we played how we needed to play and how we knew that we could step up and take the win.
Well, Leah, I appreciate the time. Congratulations on a great season for you and the Central girls basketball team. Nothing but the best of luck at Colorado Mesa going forward. And I know it's going to be a very special day for you and your family. Congratulations again, hard-earned and well-deserved on your part, and best of luck going forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Leah Redding of the Central girls basketball team, signing today with Colorado Mesa. Get a little advice from Bryn and Alex Wagner on,
yeah,
on, okay, don't do that. Don't do this, don't do that. That's going to push dad's buttons, okay, as a coach.
A smart, you know.
Very,
you
very smart.
Take them under your wing, and then they'll help you out at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Smart. That's teamwork.
Give you a little advice. And look, Mary's got, and Travis McCarty out there, they're losing two really great players in Maya Murdoch and, mm-hmm. and Leah Redding, but Brett
they
Wagner,
got a good young core
Christina
there.
Manzanares, Alex Wagner,
the
Bailey,
oldest of
Bailey
whom
Ritterbush.
Is a sophomore.
Yeah, who's yeah? The Alex is the sophomore.
Yeah,
and so they're gonna be really really good going forward.
Yeah, they
really
are.
Good.
They're gonna be really good.
And so we have a lot of athletes signing across the valley today. Palisade signing ceremonies for Donovan Kemp. He'll run track at Colorado Mesa. Alexis Marushak for basketball at Aurora University in Illinois. Justice McKee is going to play girls soccer at Western Colorado University. And Brandon Rubikob is going to golf at Waldorf University in Iowa. Central High, mentioned Leah Redding, she's going to sign at Colorado Mesa. Her basketball teammate, Maya Murdoch, who is also an outstanding softball player, and Central making it deep into the 4A tournament this year in softball.
Yeah.
She's going to play at Colorado Northwestern Community College in Rangeley. Liam Brannon is going to play rugby at American International College in Massachusetts. Grand Junction's Malia Yang will play soccer at Western Colorado University. So those are some of the signings that we have today here in the Valley. So congratulations to all those student-athletes on signing their letters of intent today. All right, 8-11, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, casting our Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 film. Got suggestions on who we should cast. The actual people. Not the actors at this point.
Right.
And nobody can play themselves. Peyton Manning's a yes. Vaughn's a yes. Definitely in. Elway, Kubiak. Had a suggestion for who could play Kubiak. Dennis Quaid from Andy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I
We're going to do more of
that
tomorrow,
that.
But that's a good one.
Stealing that, though. I'm putting that down.
Andrew, if we're casting the new mail truck as PFM, let's see if Mr. Ed is available for John Elway. Oh, Andrew.
Oh, going Andrew. Back to the 80s.
Jake Busey is Elway.
Oh, not Gary, but Jake.
Yeah, Jake
Maybe?
Might be. Yeah, it might work.
Let's steal that, too.
James Vanderbeek is Manning. Oh, because he played a quarterback. Varsity Blues, right? So we're going to give him another crack at it.
Gotta bring back the hairline a little bit. Can't
you can do
not
it,
bring
though.
It down. You gotta take it. You gotta move the fences back a little.
You know
bit.
What though, Jared? That's not a bad
that's
suggestion.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hmm.
I can see Vanderbeek as Manning. So we're looking to cast the people the actual people. Who should we cast?
I've got 12 right now.
Okay, I have not anywhere close to that. So
well, Elway, Coops, Wade. PFM, Brock Lobster. We decided on Emmanuel Sanders. Vaughn.
Oh, I thought
DeMarcus
you meant who
Ware.
You're going to
no,
cast,
no, no, no,
not
no.
who. Okay.
They're talking about who we will be casting.
Right.
Vaughn, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, TJ Ward, Cam Newton, Ron Rivera. That's 12.
That's pretty good. Because you can't get the movie too, you know.
Can't be too overloaded, or it's going to be the Irishman, you know, to get everybody seen.
Yeah, because obviously there's going to be a lot of screen time for some.
Yeah.
And less for others. And, you know, whoever you cast to play Osweiler,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a significant cast of who that is.
Because
that role is going to be actually a difficult role to play. Because, number one, physically, you got to find the guy, which is going to be tough.
Sounds like a Hemsworth brother type job.
Yeah. But you have the... Here's Osweiler, you know, still a relatively young quarterback,
mm-hmm.
behind the veteran guy who's struggling, and then Peyton with the foot injury gets shut down. He comes in, he's winning football games. They're 5-2 during his stretch, and then you get that final game against the Chargers, and you think, okay, maybe this is now my football team. That maybe this
yeah,
is the year, you know where things are right now. Maybe they just keep going with the hot hand, and I put the future Hall of Famer on the bench. And then he doesn't play particularly well against the Chargers in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't all on him. But then Manning comes in the second half. They win the game, and the rest is history for PFM, winning his second Super Bowl. And the disappointment for Brock Osweiler. And, you know, I thought this was my team.
Yeah.
And now it's not. Now I'm on the bench, back on the bench again as Manning comes in to take things over. And that could have been my Super Bowl that I won myself, that I played a... he played a role in it, but he could have played, obviously, a far greater role, potentially. And just the angst, the emotional roller coaster for one Brock Osweiler would be an interesting story to see played out.
If we're going teen angst, could be James Vanderbeek plays Brock Osweiler instead of Peyton Manning. He was teen angst quarterback guy, right?
Sure. Chuck has Dave Chappelle as Aqib Talib. Would Chappelle, I don't know, from a physical standpoint, can you have to hit the weights, right? I mean, gonna have to get a little, because you want him to look like and play football a little bit.
Well, yeah. But they're actors. They're men of, you know, professional standards.
It's true. I just remember the Charlton Heston football film. We played the Saints quarterback where he did not look like he could throw the football at all.
No. I'm looking at you, Keanu Reeves, too. He didn't look like a quarterback.
No, neither, he did not.
Neither is Johnny Utah or as the replacement quarterback.
No, he did not. So, yeah, why not? We don't have to get too hung up on that.
Yeah.
Jared thinks that the Greek, Steve Antonopoulos, needs to be cast. And Sunshine, Jordan Taylor.
And maybe, and no.
Taylor.
That can be an uncredited appearance. And we don't need to cast anybody for that.
Because there's going to be, obviously, you're going to break away and show Manning. Because that'll be the other part of the story. The veteran quarterback.
That's going to be your comeback training montage.
Exactly. Going to do a montage. And you got him out there throwing to Jordan Taylor. But it's not like there's a ton of interaction between the two guys. Maybe you have a couple. Maybe you work in a lighthearted moment or
just
two.
Stick
I don't
somebody
know.
In a helmet. You don't need to cast them.
Curtis, Jamie Foxx is T.J. Ward. Sure, why not? You know, even though we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here in casting, but you know what? We'll take those suggestions today as well.
This is helping out a lot.
Yeah, actually, it is. It's Kyle, you're doing a fine job today.
I think we need somebody a little angrier than Jamie Foxx is T.J. Ward.
Yeah. If Kevin Hart was bigger, because Kevin Hart's just, you're not going to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
He's just too damn small.
He couldn't even play a kicker.
Yeah, I can see Kevin Hart, though, maybe being like a T.J. Ward.
Yeah.
I can see that.
A little bit.
Just don't think he's going to be big enough, though.
I don't think
so. Not to.
He could also be a Aqib Talib, too.
Not to challenge our, he could have been a Aqib Talib as well. Our diminutive friends, which.
Right.
You would be one of them, actually.
Yeah, me, JJ.
The way you keep cracking on people, though, it's like you're 7'2", and you're not.
In comparison to JJ,
okay,
I might as well
stop be. Stop it. All right, very quickly, we got Connor McGahee coming up in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And a stammer released by the NFLPA yesterday. Broncos players said it makes no sense to participate in the team's voluntary offseason workouts. They cited the success of the all-virtual program from last season and the city's current COVID-19 positivity rate. Right now, the league and the union still negotiating the terms of this year's offseason program. Broncos coach and support staff were preparing for it to begin next Monday. So keep in mind, the first two phases are purely voluntary. It's that three-day camp at the end that's the only mandatory part of off-season workouts. And this is something that your guy, J.C. Treader, with the Browns, who's the head of the players' union, had said, well, look, it worked really well last time out. Why don't we just do this? Also, the lack of contact, the player association has tried to cite that it's reduced exposure to concussions, which, okay, sure.
Treader said it was the best he'd felt at the end of a football season as a pro.
And so maybe there's some truth to that. But before you start throwing rocks at the Broncos saying, well, they're just being lazy and they don't want to go show up, well, count the Seahawks in and your defending Super Bowl champions, the Buccaneers, as other teams that don't plan on being there for in-person workouts. They're still going to participate in virtual workouts and meetings and things. They're just not going to be there in person.
Right, and they're voluntary anyway.
That's what I said. It is the first two phases are voluntary with the three-day camp, the only mandatory part of the whole thing.
So if you're getting on their case with they're not showing up. Well, they don't have to, first of all. Second of all, they're showing up virtually. If they're not going to go out there and, you know, put pads on and hit each other, why do you need to go out there and possibly all these non-contact injuries?
Now,
Why do you have to run the risk of it?
I agree with that. And the only thing that I'm kind of throwing a BS flag on mm-hmm. is the COVID aspect of this. Well, you know, the positivity rate. But look, you had 22 Broncos players at the UC Health Center working out this offseason. Second highest of anybody in the league, I think, next to the Cowboys.
Yeah. And I saw Brandon McManus tweeted a defense about that kind of stays in line. Let me see if I can find that tweet as you go.
Yeah. I'm just saying that if you're trying to use that as one of your top reasons why, there's some faulty logic on that a little bit. Because then why are you going to the UC Health Center if you're concerned about getting COVID? It's more about wear and tear on guys. The virtual workouts and meetings worked last year for a lot of players and a lot of teams. Like you said, J.C. Tretter said he never felt so good because of the reduced amount of contact.
Right.
There's something to be said for that.
So here's the tweet from Tom Pelissero, which essentially was what you said. 22 players work out at the facility in the offseason, second only to the Cowboys. McManus says it was mostly rehab players, no protocols in place. In order to get in for these meetings on Monday, how can they test 65 players, meet, lift, all in the CBA agreed upon 4-hour window? Do they have to have players come in on Sunday to test? And isn't that then mandatory and not voluntary anymore?
And
which is a good point.
And which, let's get down to the crux of it, though, that we found last year that the offseason workouts,
you don't have to be there.
It didn't really have a big negative impact. Actually, in like I said, in the case of J.C. Tretter, had a positive impact in terms of his physical state going into the season, how he felt after the season. All right, 8:22. We will take a break. We'll come back. And coming up next, Connor McGahey's going to join us. We'll talk Avs and St. Louis Blues. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
This is a Rockies Radio Network update.
Touch him all time.
Oh, man, did he crush that.
Presented by the Colorado Lottery. When you play
ball.
Colorado wins.
Dodger Stadium has been a house of horrors for Antonio Senzatella, and it was more of the same in game one of a 3-game set as the Dodgers topped the Rockies 7-0. Senza allowed 3 solo homers and has surrendered 10 long balls in 6 career starts at Dodger Stadium. But the Rockies hope to even the series in Game 2 with John Gray heading to the hill. John was terrific against the Dodgers in an earlier effort at Coors Field. He had to leave that game, you remember, because of cramps. We'll begin our coverage of Game 2, Rockies on deck at 7:30 Mountain Time. And don't miss out on your chance to win up to $1 million with Casino Night Scratch from the Colorado Lottery. Pick from 5 games and bring home a mountain of chips before it's too late.
Hit me!
Sir, this is the roulette table.
Okay, then pass me some hot dice.
Uh-huh, that's craps.
Oh, wow. It was so much easier winning $1 million with Casino Night Scratch.
Okay, this is the game where you take the ball and you...
Count cards?
Security!
Wait, where's your Go Fish table? I know that one.
Casino Night Scratch makes it easy to win up to $1 million instantly.
Must be 18 to buy. Odds of winning $1 million top prize is 1 in 1,080,000. Odds vary by game.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahey, on The Team.
And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, radio voice of the Avs, Connor McGahey. Connor, I appreciate it. I'm sorry about the late text last night.
I don't really sleep anyhow. It's fine. Don't you worry about it. I'm surprised that you were up because you have to host a morning show.
I know.
That's what surprised me.
I was up, a little later than normal. So, but Peter McNabb had texted me back saying, "Hey, I've got all these kids going across the country checking out colleges. He's going crazy right now as a dad." So, we always appreciate getting you on the program. So,
I'm more than happy to be a super downgrade from Peter McNabb.
No,
genuine pleasure.
We have the two of you in this spectacular rotation, and unfortunately, the rotation's been knocked askew a little bit. So we always have to go back to the always reliable, leader of the Fight 970s, Connor McGahey, to get the job done for us.
The old standby.
That's
Fighting 970s.
Well, let's talk about where the Avalanche are right now. Getting ready, of course, tonight for that matchup with the St. Louis Blues right here on the team. And Joe Sakic making some, I would say, relatively minor moves, though Devin Dubnyk with the history of the Avalanche. I don't know if it's necessarily a minor move, but it does help to really solidify the backup spot to Philip Grubauer. That's a big move, but in terms of bringing guys to change up chemistry, it's a lot of the guys he brought back are guys that know the system of Jared Bednar and are guys that will be like one of your favorites, Big Carl Soderberg. I know that you were giddy that he's coming back. These are guys that know the system, know it well, and are going to be seamless additions.
Absolutely. And team chemistry is probably one of, if not the most important thing inside of a locker room. And so when you're clearly the hottest team in the NHL, you have been for more than a month, you don't mess with that. And you still need to fill in some gaps and buy some insurance policies. And Joe Sakic was able to do that. I mean, Devan Dubnyk has improved his play with San Jose over the past month or so. He's a fantastic locker room guy. And the other two have been through the wars with the Colorado Avalanche. Couple playoff runs, obviously. Soderberg here for four seasons from 15 to 19. Nemeth from 17 to 19. And so it was a no-brainer to bring back two, I'm going to call them no-maintenance personalities, Carl Soderberg and Patrick Nemeth, to really shore up the lineup with veteran presence. Elliot Friedman saying yesterday that Edmonton had their eyes on Nemeth before the Avalanche swooped in and got him. And it's a great, solid piece, with Joe Sakic also saying earlier this week that Eric Johnson likely wouldn't be back till later rounds of the playoffs, maybe not even at all. You needed a defensive defenseman to go back there for Colorado, and Patrick Nemeth makes perfect sense. Detroit helping out financially, paying half the salary. Devan Dubnyk magically has half of his salary paid by Minnesota, which is a nice little bonus for us. And Carl Soderberg costs you two prospects that aren't top by any means, and Dickinson and Ryder Ralston going the other way to Chicago. So a shrewd business, as per always, for Joe Sakic, acquiring without giving up a whole lot. And it does, in fact, make this best team in the National Hockey League even better.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And once again, I think it's just a testament, Connor, to what Joe Sakic's done. I mean, starting all the way back in 2017, the deal that sent Matt Duchene to Ottawa, that really kind of started things going for Joe in a positive way in terms of off-season additions and things he's been able to do in regard to trades. And this is just another example of knowing what the needs are. Dubnyk fills certainly a need for the Avalanche. And the other guys, they fit in very nicely. It once again, I think, shows how far Joe Sakic has come as a general manager.
Sure. And this Avs Archives video series on the Avalanche web YouTube page, youtube.com/ColoradoAvalanche, I was able to, lucky enough to produce Chapter 2, Championship Culture, and we're working on Chapter 6 for next week, which is about building kind of the current team that you see today. And going back and doing a little bit of the research and finding all that old footage and really tracking down what the Duchene trade, as you mentioned, what that led to. I mean, it leads to, obviously, Sam Girard. It leads to Bowen Byram, to Shane Bowers. They draft Eustace Annunen, who could be a goaltender of the future for Colorado, with one of those picks acquired after another trade with the Florida Panthers. So, Joe Sakic, when you're a hockey mind, you're a hockey mind. He surrounded himself with Chris McFarland, who, in my opinion, is the best assistant general manager in the National Hockey League, and probably will be a GM in the NHL in the coming years. And the two of them have just done a marvelous job of fitting needs, as you said, but also staying on budget and not using all the workarounds, say, like the Toronto Maple Leafs have done, but realizing what they can afford, who fits perfectly in a spot, and they've just they really hit the nail on the head every single time. It's really impressive to see that they're aggressive, but they're not overly aggressive. They're not overpaying for anybody, and they're not taking huge risks on guys. Valeri Nichushkin might be a great example of that. He's bought out by the Dallas Stars. They signed him to a very inexpensive $800,000 one-year deal last year, and then they signed him to an extension after he performs the way that he should. Burakovsky, another one that they're able to find from the Washington Capitals. I think Nazem Kadri might be the one exception to that. But look, you trade Tyson Barry to Toronto, and he only stays there 1 year. He's having a great season now in Edmonton, but the need was a second-line center for the Avalanche. And they got one of the best in the National Hockey League from Toronto, and so they're able to find these situations all over the place. And you just... the testaments to their ability to do their job at the very best, there are many, and they just keep adding to them every single season here in Colorado.
Connor McGahey, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us on the team today. Of the recent moves that Joe has made, of the ones for this trade period, Connor, what's the one, the acquisition you like the most?
It's a good question. I think the need was a backup goaltender. And they've acquired two goaltenders over the past month. They start with Jonas Johansson from the Buffalo Sabres. And Sakic maintained that there was going to be another acquisition after Johansson, because as we've seen in two of the last three playoff runs, the depth in goaltending has to be there, because in 17-18 versus Nashville, Varlamov got hurt and Bernier got hurt, so it fell to Andrew Hammond, who came over in the trade for Matt Duchene to take them through games 5 and 6 in that series. And last year, Grubauer goes down, Francouz goes down, so it's up to Michael Hutchinson to get them through game 7 of the second round versus Dallas. You hope that it doesn't happen for a third year in a row, but you have to be prepared. And that goes for all these moves, Soderberg, Nemeth, but especially at the goaltending position. Hunter Miska has played great with the Colorado Eagles, and I think he needs to remain there for a little bit to improve his game. But Johansson comes over from Buffalo. He's 3-0-1, and his numbers and game has gotten better every single game. And we mentioned how Devan Dubnyk has done. I know that, you know, Colorado looked around to see what was available. A lot of talk about bringing Bernier back from Detroit. Was James Reimer available from the Carolina Hurricanes? As they now have three goaltenders there, but they're going to be in the same situation. They don't want to really give up their goaltending depth. But I think that's probably the most important move, to get Dubnyk, who Jared Bednar hinting on our flagship station here earlier in the hour that Dubnyk could possibly start tonight versus the Blues. So we'll see about that. If that's the case, he'll be the tallest goaltender to play in Avalanche history at 6'6". But I think I love Carl Soderberg and his versatility, but I think the need was a really solid backup goaltender for Philip Grubauer, and they got that in Dubnyk.
Connor McGahey joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Avs and Blues tonight, the Avs at St. Louis, and Blues on a three-game winning streak. Avs, similar situation. Philip Grubauer coming off the spectacular game he had, 35 saves in that Monday night win. So when you look at where the Blues are right now, though, they're 19-16-6. The Avalanche, of course, they're in line to maybe win the President's Trophy at 29-9-4 right now. And last time they played was back April 3rd. Avs won a hard-fought 2-1 game in that one. So the Avalanche going to St. Louis tonight, and the Avs have been great on the road, 11-5-2 away from Ball Arena.
Yeah, but St. Louis, for whatever reason, always seems to be that place that is hard to win. They haven't won there since March of 2018, 0-2-2 their last four games there. Yeah, you get 2 points out of the four, but they're going to have to continue that road magic, because they play in St. Louis 4 times in the next 10 days. You have tonight, and then you come home versus LA for 2, and then you go back to St. Louis for 3 in a row. That's the only time this season where that happens in the same venue for the Avalanche. So they're going to need to find a way to win at Enterprise Center. And as you mentioned, the Blues are their stock is rising at the moment. Bennington had his best week of the season, two wins, goals against average, way under two. Colton Parayko is back in the lineup, and he really is one of those key pieces. I mean, you basically look at the Blues season and you say, all right, when Pareko's in, they've been a great hockey team. When he's not, then they're average. So his return has been huge for them, and he just be prepared for 55 in blue and gold on 29 in burgundy and white, because that's what happens. They stick Pareko on Nathan MacKinnon, and they try and slow him down as much as possible. But with as much as the top line is chugging along for the Avalanche at the moment, it's going to be a tougher task than normal for the Blues. But they are playing their best hockey of the season, and that makes it a little bit more difficult for Colorado.
And you'll have it tonight right here on the team. Pre-game at 5, face-off right around 5:30, the Avalanche at the St. Louis Blues. Connor, thanks for stepping in today to pick up the slack for Peter McNabb, who's going crazy, going on all these college visits with his kids. So I appreciate you coming in today, partner. Thanks for stepping in at the last moment.
Anytime, Jimmy. Good to talk to you.
Likewise. Take care. Connor McGahee will have it tonight on the team. He'll have the call pregame at 5 tonight on the Team Sports Network. All right, we didn't get to it at 8:20. We'll do it right now. The number game. And it's a chance to win a small antipasto salad from Junction Square Pizza.
Yes, the number I'm looking for is the year. Rockies got shut out last night and Sunday. Name the last time, the last year, the Rockies were shut out in back-to-back games.
All right. If you won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. First correct answer to the text line wins today, 970-242-1340.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. Start things out with first down. And you've probably heard this about Alex Rodriguez, that Rodriguez, you know, buying into the Minnesota Timberwolves, going to be part, you know, the ownership group there. And one of the players for the Timberwolves was asked his feelings about Alex Rodriguez, baseball great, owning the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards, not exactly sure who they're talking about.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? Who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
He has no idea who that is.
I don't know who that is.
But reports are that Rodriguez reportedly bought the reports are it came out Saturday that he was buying the Minnesota Timberwolves. But his players, well, soon to be employees, don't know who he is. All right, second down. This is an incredible feat by pitcher Hope Troutwine, University of North Texas softball pitcher. On Sunday, through all seven innings, she struck out every single one of the 21 batters she faced against the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. First time ever in NCAA history that you've had a perfect game in softball, and every one of the batters she faced, she struck out.
That's the perfect game,
that
right?
That is the perfect game.
Nice.
Exactly. All right, third and fourth down.
Third down. The Jags fans, or not the Jags fans, some Jags fans, bought items off Trevor Lawrence's wedding registry for him and his new bride.
Oh, that's so nice of them.
Is that a good scam other number one picks should now start to try to get in on?
Try to get married right before the draft?
Yeah. So some of your registry is bought up, and all you have to do is be drafted number one overall. That's a great scam, I think.
I think so, too.
So, that's third down. Fourth down, Broncos sending offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur and director of pro personnel, some guy, to Justin Fields' throwing session today at Ohio State. So, should Justin Fields, like they did for the Niners, run some of Pat Shurmur's offensive brilliance and hand it off to a running back that runs into a pile, or overthrow his receiver by 10 yards?
Okay, Mr. Snarky. Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, let's have him hand off the football.
Let's run Pat Shurmur's prototypical play.
Hand off,
third and 11, and I'll call a 7-yard out.
Glad they're going to be there to watch Justin Fields today. All right, that's four down territory. We'll take a break. Chris Dempsey of Altitude will join us to talk Nuggets basketball next right here on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim Davis, Sam the Buckeye Boy. Talked abs. Now time to talk Nuggets. Covers the Nuggets for Altitude. Chris Dempsey joins us. Chris, how are you today?
Doing really, really well. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. First, Chris, I understand you still have some game left. Got some handles. You can drop dimes. Any chance you'll be auditioning for a point guard role for the Nuggets and Michael Malone? I've heard that on the Twitterverse that you might be in the running to be to fill a very valuable spot right now for the Nuggets.
Yeah. The Nuggets would be in real trouble if they signed me for anything other than talk about what they're doing. it's funny because you look around the landscape of the NBA too, and you wonder, is there additional help that could come in and help them through this time? And I don't see anything significant. I mean, the Nuggets are going to have to absolutely go with the players they have, and the players they have are good. And Monte Morris has had a really nice season. Obviously, Facundo Campazzo has as well. And so now they're going to be thrust into bigger roles, and how will they handle it? And how will Michael Malone rotate them? Who will start? All those kinds of things. One of the things that's working in the Nuggets' favor as well is they continue to have one of the easier schedules from here to the end of the season. And so it's just going to give them a chance to figure out rotations, get guys used to new roles, and then see, how effective they can be in the playoffs.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Of course, we're referencing the injury to Jamal Murray, left knee, torn ACL, done for the season. Nuggets lose their second-leading scorer, was having a career-best season from a scoring standpoint, second-leading assist guy on the team behind Nikola Jokic. And look, we know what the numbers are. When Nikola and the Blue Arrow are on the floor together, Chris, the numbers, the efficiency numbers are off the charts. When the Blue Arrow is not on the floor, those numbers go into the negative territory for Nikola Jokic. I mean, this has a big impact on Nikola Jokic, and because you can't ask him to do more than what he's doing right now, right? And he's going to miss his his buddy, guy that he clicks very well with on the floor with the injury to Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and I think what that speaks to, those numbers, what that really does speak to is the ability for Jamal Murray to assume, to take on some of the defensive attention. And so, what happens when just one or the other is on the floor without the other is that the defense can just load right up. Excuse me, the defense can just load right up to you and do more to take you out of a game or just do more to make you less effective, let's put it that way. And so when they're both on the floor, and especially when they're working in together in ball screen situations, pick and roll, getting downhill, it is very difficult to stop, and it's very difficult for a defense to prioritize just exactly where they want to be, who they want to take out of a play, when both players are equally as deadly in an action, and so you're taking that you're taking that. The ability for you to really be multiple offensively, and you're just taking that, and it's, now it's gone. And so Nikola Jokic is no doubt going to see defenses that are devoting more players to him now than ever before because they can. They feel like they can, and they feel like they can do that without really being hurt by the majority of other players on the court. And so that's something that the Nuggets are going to have to get sorted out, and that's why players are going to have to really step up and score and be threats around Nikola Jokic because ultimately that's going to give him a little bit of space back to operate, and then he'll obviously be more effective as a scorer as well. So I think these last 17-18 games are the players around Nikola are going to have to establish that they are you have to pay attention to us too because then that will help the entire enterprise in the long run.
Before this happened with Jamal Murray, there was some talk the Nuggets were looking at Gerald Green, maybe Troy Daniels, Austin Rivers, that I believe the Post reported this, that they were looking at some of those guys. And I would imagine now for Tim Connelly and that they're going to, the necessity is now there to act on one of these guys that are still out there right now. I mean, if they were thinking about that before Jamal's injury, now there's really pressure on them to bring somebody else in, I would think.
Well, especially from a shooting standpoint, I mean, I think you just want to create as much space around Nikola as possible. So if Nikola gets the ball on the block, and, you know, the defense, the only player that they really feel compelled to not leave is Michael Porter Jr. Now you're in a situation where you have three other players on the court that could, any one of them, could come over and double team, and maybe even if they want to devote another triple team to Nikola Jokic, and then feel okay about what they're going to do in terms of closing out to any pass that Nikola makes out of that double team or triple team. So, you know, the counter to that is you put more shooting on the court and more guys who are legit threats, so that when Nikola is passing out of these situations where he has multiple defenders on him, you're making shots around that. And then over the course of the game, that loosens up the defense around Nikola, and now allows him to instead of having to pass out of the situations, maybe even work against single coverage, in which obviously there are few, if any, players in the NBA can that can just stop him in single coverage. So, you know, that I think is the biggest key for. If you're trying to acquire talent around him, I think right now it just has to be a shooting threat that can space the court, that can absolutely make three-point shots, that can take pressure off Nikola, that can bend the defense back to being more honest, and therefore give your MVP room to work.
Talking Nuggets basketball with Altitude's Chris Dempsey on the team, and what you're saying would certainly lead to people thinking that Michael Porter Jr., who's already been shooting the heck out of the basketball, he goes from being that third option, Chris, to beyond, now really be probably the second option offensively on this basketball team. It does put more pressure on him to deliver. And we've liked what we've seen with MPJ, the growth on the defensive end, what he's been able to do in terms of really expanding his capabilities as an offensive threat, particularly from the perimeter. But this is a situation now where he's going to be asked to probably do more from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, he's going to also draw a better defender. The best perimeter defender was going to Jamal Murray. Now that player is probably going to Michael Porter Jr. And so he'll have to do that through just tougher circumstances. I think he's up to it. And I think the one thing that I really liked about his offense here in the last 2 months or so, month and a half, is that he hasn't needed to pound the basketball a lot to score a lot of points. You know, he hasn't dribbled out possessions. You don't see him on the ball a ton, and he still ends up with 20-plus points in the game. And so now he'll actually get into situations where he will be allowed to dribble a little bit more, to have a little bit more of the basketball in his hands than he has had. But I expect him to respond. It's been really interesting in the last couple of games. We've seen him go over 20 points in each of the last two games, and yet he has only made three out of his last 19 three-point shots. And so what that's just telling you is that this guy can score in any way possible, and even if he's not making his three-point shots, he can get you to 24 points, and he can get you double-digit rebounds. And I just expect that what we'll see over the course of to the end of the season are some real splash games for him, where we say Michael Porter Jr. just scored 42 points tonight. He just scored 38 points tonight. I think those are on his radar because he's going to get more opportunities. They're going to actually run more plays for him, and his responsibility on that end is going to rise. And so it'll be fun to see him how he embraces and rises to the occasion. But I absolutely expect that he will.
Altitude's Chris Dempsey with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So, as Nuggets fans, we shouldn't panic, right? Shouldn't be like Animal House when Kevin Bacon gets ran over, you know, and he gets smashed flat at the end of that movie. Things are going to be okay, right? Chris Dempsey, calm us down. Tell us things are going to be okay with Jamal not available for the rest of the season.
Well, I think the foundation of this is the Nuggets are still a really good team. I mean, this is a really good basketball team, and so, you know, just as that being the foundation level of knowledge that we know about the Nuggets, we can take some solace in that. I think the regular season is not going to be as big an issue as it might seem to be. I think they're going to navigate their way through the remainder of the regular season just fine. I think this is going to be a playoff story. And what do you do, you know, late in games when you would go to the Jamal Joker two-man action, and that was so very difficult for teams to sort out and get stopped. How do you work your way through you know, not having an emotional leader on the court, you know, guys that can get you buckets when the other team seems to have momentum. And I think this is more of a playoff, let's just see what happens, their story. I think they're going to get it sorted out just fine in the regular season. I think Monte Morris is going to play really, really well, as is Faku, and they'll navigate that. And they'll figure out, you know, rotations and combinations from here to the end of the season. So they have time to be able to do that. They have time to also be able to get Aaron Gordon more involved in the offense. I think that's a player that they will start running more stuff for as well, because they're going to need additional scoring, obviously, outside of MPJ and Joker, and who provides that. And they're going to ask Will Barton to up his scoring and his consistent scoring, not just scoring, but consistent scoring from him as well. So I think they have time to be able to sort some of this stuff out, which is good. They have good talent there to be able to continue to win games, and that's also going to be a good thing. Try to keep themselves in the top four spot, have home court advantage in that first round of the playoffs. And then from there, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how players have grown, how the team has grown, and what they can do against, you know, a Western Conference that just has so many good teams in the playoffs. You know, we'll see, but I think they'll be okay here for the time being.
Hey, Chris, I always appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you.
Take care, and good luck in the tryout, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Thanks, Chris. Take care. Chris Tissy, Altitude, covers the Nuggets. Thanks to Chris for coming on the program today. All right, next hour, Colorado Mesa football coach Jermaine Jackson will join us to talk about the upcoming Mavs spring football game. Also, he'll be part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Out of Champions. That's coming up. Also, Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke. That's next hour as well, right here on the Jim Davis Show.